Yeah, we're going to spend at least half the time celebrating the Lord's Supper. And we're going to do an introduction to that. So we're going to have a great time in these six sessions that spread over the while, not least because I will only be able to talk for half the time. Yeah. But it's going to be a great time as well, I think, because it will enable us to sort of push into some areas where not only Dayspring, but our whole tradition has been weak. But I'll come to that. So over the past 3 months or so, I've been doing some real deep diving into the subject of communion, the Mass, the Eucharist, breaking of bread, which is sort of informal term we've used, and the Lord's Supper, which is the preferred evangelical term, which I'll probably use more than I have been doing while we're talking about it. We can decide what sort of words we want to use when we come out the other end of this. So I've spent a lot of time singing songs over the past couple of weeks as I've been revisiting this issue. And most of them, if you look hard, seem to have been written between 1874 and 1925. It was a period when people wrote a lot of hymns that built themselves into our background. And some of them we don't even recognise now as having a past. So, for instance, Rend have a song called Nothing But Your Blood, okay, which is a straight lift from an old hymn called Nothing But the Blood of Jesus. I have been encouraged and surprised that there's one song that's relatively current. If you're my age, the 90s is pretty current, yeah? I know some of you were very, very small indeed then, that does the job really well. And it's a song you're pretty much all going to know, and if you don't know it, you'll pick it up as we go along. So I'm hoping that I Sing will behave for me. We're very grateful, Sue, for using it. You're getting more and more adept at coping with when it doesn't work. That's the best you can hope for. And we do actually see it as a fill-in. It's not something that we're going to stick with. We've got some plans to work at not having to use it so much or not at all. It's ideal to be used in a small group. Or to be honest, because I've got it on my phone, I actually quite enjoy it in personal times of worship because I can have my meeting all on my own and can sing the songs in the order I want and repeat the bits I want without anybody chasing on to the next bit. So I'm going to try and press these buttons. But you know the Matt Redman song called Once Again, Jesus Christ, I Think Upon Your Sacrifice. And we're going to sing this now and we're going to sing it a bit later on. And then possibly a bit later on. But let me tell you what we're going to do this morning so that you don't get any surprises, because some of us don't enjoy surprises very much because it gives us a feeling of not being totally in control. But there we are. So as we come to the table after we've talked, I'm going to ask you to turn to greet one another, not offer the peace, but just to be aware of the people who are around you, because you're going to share the emblems of the body and blood of Jesus with them. And it's great to be able to look one another in the eyes and say hi, and to mean hi, because at that point, I'm praying that something will start to happen for us. And after we've greeted one another, I will shut you up. It takes time because it's all this cat herding that happens whenever we tell people to chat with one another in Day Spring. And I'm going to use some words of invitation to come to the table. And then I'm going to come back to the Bible passage we're going to read, probably we're going to read every time we do this, from 1 Corinthians 11. And we'll pray, and we'll pray that old prayer, come Holy Spirit. Now, when we pray the prayer, come Holy Spirit, what we're doing, we're not praying, come Holy Spirit and transform these emblems or elements into the body and blood of Jesus. We're saying, come Holy Spirit. And so I'm going to get you to pray, come Holy Spirit, on one another as well. And we're going to give thanks. We're going to ask one or two to give thanks specifically for the body of Jesus. Yeah? And we're going to stay where we are, and we're going to pass the bread to one another. We're going to give thanks for the wine, and then we're going to pass that to one another. Now, if you've got a dreadful cold or worried about contracting one, then do feel free to retain your bread and dip it when it comes. There's even a religious word for that, which we won't worry about because I'm eschewing the use of long words where short ones will do. So we're going to dip rather than engage in intinction. Yeah? And so that is hugely original, isn't it? It's the way that many of us have broken bread together, celebrated the Lord's Supper, since the year dot. That's part of what we're after as well. We want it to become something that we flow with. And then after that, you'll see that what I've done is I've moved the elements of our prayer table here as well. The element of prayer and the element of thanksgiving. This is our Ebenezer, the rock of remembrance, the place that we come to, and the book that we write in when God answers prayer for us. And so with praise and thanksgiving, what we want to do is to spend some time doing prayer table together on steroids, yeah? So it's going to be on steroids because all of us are going to be involved. It's going to be on steroids because we've been remembering the Lord's body and the Lord's blood. It's going to be on steroids because we're asking God for words and for prayers for one another. So during the time we share together, I am expecting that God will begin to stir one another. Some of you will feel dreadfully uncomfortable and you'll be going, oh, I wonder if I should say this, or I wonder if I should pray this. Well, go for it. I cannot think of an occasion where anybody shared or prayed something in Day Spring in all the years we've existed where I thought, oh, that's bad, or that's heresy. It just doesn't happen. It may be ordinary, but then if you're worried about being ordinary, then you've got a problem, because we all are, and it'll only be a little bit in the mix. But who knows, if something you pray or something you say or someone you turn to and say, can I pray for you during that time, will actually just sort of be the next piece in the jigsaw for them that makes sense of it all. So that's where we're going to get to. And so with prayer and thanksgiving, we're going to take a mix. And we're going to start with singing this song. And after we've sung the song, at great personal expense, I'm going to put the timer on my phone. And I'm going to stop talking after 20 minutes. Don't be like that, Brenda. Actually, I'm going to give myself a 5-minute warning after 20 minutes. Yeah. Okay.
You very often deviate, don't you?
Yeah, but only when people make me. Okay, let's go. You know the song. Let's see if it works. Lined up. And what do I do to... Oh yeah, there's a thing called play at the bottom. That song actually says all we need for today, because we're concentrating on one word. We're going to try and do that as we go through. And today the word we want to concentrate on is remembering. I actually think that we got it right for a while. You remember that at brunch we used to combine the body part of sharing together in the Lord's Supper with actually having a set of cards, sequence cards, and we asked the children in particular to actually retell the story. And part of remembering for us is going to be retelling the story. It's something we don't always do. We just sort of rush on. We don't think about it. Our tradition, not terribly good at celebrating the Lord's Supper. I know people for whom a Sunday is a Sunday missed if they don't take communion, if they don't spend time dwelling on the Lord's death. And you know, it's one of the few things that Jesus said you've got to do. Do this in remembrance of me. And here's the passage that we know so well, don't we? For I received from the Lord. This is Paul talking. Now bear in mind that he didn't actually, as far as we know, might have done, but probably didn't, meet Jesus in the flesh. If he did, he probably met him at a distance. But during that time that he had his desert days, good things happen in the desert. And good things are going to happen for us as we go into the desert with the Lord. But he said, for I have received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Okay, there's some other stuff around that which is important, but we'll concentrate on that for a moment. So what's taken me down this road? I've already said I don't think we make as much of this as we ought. We're the kind of Christians that believe encounter is important. If there was a unique emphasis we make, is we would say that being aware of Jesus in our everyday lives is important. So what happens when we're together is significant because it helps us recognize the voice of the shepherd, like in John 10. It helps us recognize the presence of Jesus. It helps us know that God is close to us, even if we know for a fact that that is true. Jesus is here, he's everywhere. And he's there when you're loading washing into the washing machine, when you're waiting for a bus, when you're picking up the kids from school, where you're going around clearing up other people's mess. Jesus is with you. The problem is that while that's good for us, it would be so much better if we were aware of it, wouldn't it? If on those occasions where we're thinking, I'm all on my own and there's nobody supporting me and life is really difficult, if only it were possible to recognize what is true, that Jesus is here with me, the Holy Spirit's here, the Father is watching me, and they all want good things for me. If that was the way we could live, then that would be brilliant. So that's really the first sort of thing. The second thing is that right at the back, there's this little thing called, which says, till he comes. We proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Now, I think we're not very good at that. I'm not even sure that if you ask me, I could explain quickly and coherently what I meant by till he comes. So that's the other thing. But the thing that really has got me going is that I keep coming across Christians in other traditions who seem to get so much more out of communion than I do. And I'm not going to tell you the name of the guy, because most of you know him. But a few years ago, I was preaching at the Chippenham Good Friday service. You know, it's in Monkton Hill Methodist Church, where I don't have much of a head for heights, and standing in that pulpit, it's a bit scary for me. And you can see the gallery, and you can see the people there, really quite awe-inspiring. But as I looked around as we were singing, one of my colleagues was standing there as we sang about Jesus, in the middle of the congregation, with no embarrassment at all, with tears streaming down his face as he thought of the death of Christ for him. And I thought, man, I would like to be there. I would like to be in a position where I genuinely recognized what Jesus had done for me. And almost the best thing I got out of this deep diving that I did wasn't reading all the theology, but it was picking up a news release. Some of you heard that Stephen Cotterill, who has been very significant in his involvement in Fresh Expressions, has been appointed as the Archbishop of York. He's the Archbishop designate. And because it was Christmas time, it got in the papers, and I went back and got hold of the recording. Now, this is the Church Times reporter having one of those little mics like we use from time to time. And so the recording isn't great. I flattened it out. So listen hard. But this really, really made me think I need to get more into understanding the death of the Lord Jesus. You play for me, please.
Well, dear friends, there wasn't much church in my growing up. In fact, one of my first introductions to the Christian story was, if you're my age or above, you may remember it, Zeffirelli's Jesus of Nazareth, which was serialised on the telly on Sunday evenings. The final episode was the crucifixion. I was, I reckon, about 12 or maybe 13 at the time. And as I sat and watched it, I wept. And yes, for a 12 or 13 year old, it was embarrassing to weep in front of your whole family. These were the days when families only had one television set and we watched it together. But I couldn't stop watching. I really didn't know quite what was going to happen next. And when it finished, I went up to my bedroom, I lay on my bed, and I wept, and I wept. And after a little while, my mum came up and she poked her head round the bedroom door. She meant it nicely, and she said to me, "Stephen, pull yourself together." Well, here I am, nearly 50 years later, I can't quite believe it, Archbishop of York designate, and I have to tell you, I couldn't pull myself together then, and I have been unable to pull myself together ever since. The story, that story that I encountered that day, has changed my life.
If I were to think of a goal for this six sessions, it would be that as we engage with what Jesus has done for us, we become unraveled, and we have to struggle to pull ourselves together, and at the least chance we become unraveled again. Because I think that will change our priorities, it will change our missional living, it will change our thoughts about till he come as well. So I don't want to put any hype into this, or to, we're not going to show videos of the crucifixion or that sort of stuff, but I would like to get to the point where we sing, oh, what were the words? Too many bits of paper. We sing, Jesus Christ, I think upon your sacrifice. Once again, I look upon the cross where you died. I'm humbled by your mercy and I'm broken inside. Once again, I thank you. Once again, I pour out my life. And you know, this does start. I'm going to talk about humbled on another week, but it just is so fundamental. Jesus had to die for me. He not only had to die for Jimmy Savile, he not only had to die for Stalin and for Hitler, he needed to die for me. And if you want to know who's in the free dinners queue today, I'm in that queue, right? I'm in the pupil premium queue. I'm one of those who can't make it. And guys, however good you think you are, so are you. You're implicated in the cross. I'm implicated in the nails and the crown of thorns. And I would have been just in the same position, preferring the easy solution, the Barabbas solution, the political solution, than actually to follow the way of the cross. So, how much more do we need to say? I've got a note or two here. Let me just check as to where we are. Yeah. Let me remind you of just a couple of those songs, the old ones. See, I think that dwelling on it is not a bad thing. I'm a bit suspicious about the way in which those songs in the Victorian period and onwards just seem to try and get kids to focus on images of suffering. But I remember as a child singing a song which some of you will know this, one or two of you may even be able to say the words through with me. It is a thing most wonderful, almost too wonderful to be, that God's own Son should come from heaven and die to save a child like me. What's the next verse, Tony? And yet I know that it is true. He came to this poor world below and wept and toiled and mourned and died only because he loved me so. But even could I see him die, I could see a little part of that great love which, like a fire, is always burning in his heart. Another song. King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be, lest I forget thy thorn-crowned brow. Lead me to Calvary. Now, I don't know whether songs work for you or images work for you or whether just sitting quietly and recognizing the price that was paid for your salvation touches you. But I know this, that it's true. And I know this, that over the years, there have been times when people have come together to break bread. And all the things that we look for at the prayer table when you come over Sunday morning have happened. You know, sometimes we come to the prayer table and it's because there's going to be something tough happening in the next week. And we want support for that. And you can find that at the table, as you recognize the body and blood of Jesus. Sometimes it is because some of you have had an unbelievably bad last week, previous week, and you come to the prayer table. And I have to say, I'm not very good at dealing with that when you come like that, because if I was in the situation you were in, I'd go get a gun and shoot a lot of them. You know, take out the problem. Kids and all. Some of you come because you're anxious about healing. And when we come to the cross, there's a promise of healing there as well. Not an exclusive promise, not a formula, not a box to tick, but there's healing at the table. Some of you, some of us, find that we've got problems that just stick with us and stick with us. We've had people pray for us. We've tried New Year resolutions. We've done all we can, but we can't get rid of what do they call it in the Hebrews? The sins that so easily beset us. Things that sort of grab hold of us. There's forgiveness and there's deliverance at the table. So guys, whatever you need, as we look to Jesus, as we're aware of him and what he's done for us, we're going to receive this morning. And as we receive, we're going to be sensitive as well to what God wants to bring to bless others. And I think we can do it without the song. We can just begin to move on. And just to remind you what we're going to do, actually not to remind you, but to remind me, I'm going to turn my piece of paper over and read out what I've written on the side again. I would have forgotten this first bit. I'm going to ask you to just speak to one another. You know, if husbands and wives, if you haven't been speaking to one another this morning, then speak to one another, put it right. Don't share communion until you've done so. But that's the next paragraph in this story. But if there's somebody you don't know, then say hi to them. Tell them your name and let them tell you theirs, because it may be that God wants to speak to you about that person, and it's easier for him to speak to you if you know their name. Then I'm going to read some words of invitation. They're going to be from this book this morning, which is from the Red Letter Christians in the States. Shane Claiborne and Tony Campolo, that set of guys, and going to read the invitation from there. Then we could take the words of institution. And then I think this morning we're going to get everybody to pray, come Holy Spirit. And we're going to give a few minutes of quiet so that you can not hold your hands out this way, okay? But hold your hands out as ordained priests this way, okay? So praying it on one another, come Holy Spirit. You may find it easier to do it in tongues. You may find it easier to do it under your breath. Do it in English. If you've got Spanish or Serbo-Croat, you can do it in those languages as well. You know, I was looking at this song once again, and I was really looking for whether there was a story behind the song, but I got to page 3 on Google, and I swear it was in Czech, and it was in Russian, and it was in, I think, Chinese. If not, it was in Korean. All the way down the page, this song is sung all over the world, and of course, we're joining in with a countless number of people in all sorts of situations in doing this morning. So we're going to pray, come Holy Spirit. We're going to give thanks. Somebody's going to give thanks for the bread, perhaps one or two. We're going to pass the bread to one another. You're going to have the option of hanging on to the bread if you feel you want to dip it rather than drink the wine from the cup. And we're going to give thanks for the wine, and we're going to go in then. And then in the time we've got left, even if the kids come back, we're going to have some open time of prayer and bringing insight. If the meeting breaks down during that period as people start to pray for one another and speak to one another, that's great. That's all part of the deal. So, say hi to somebody. Tell them that you're pleased that you're with them, and that you're looking forward to sharing communion. Okay, guys, let's listen up. The table of bread is now to be made ready. It is the table of company with Jesus for all who love him. It is The table of sharing with the poor of the world with whom Jesus identified himself. It is the table of communion with the earth. In which Christ became incarnate. So, come to the table, you who have much faith, and you who would like to have more. You who have been here often, and you who have not been for a long time. You who have tried to follow Jesus and have failed. Come. It's not me. It's Christ who invites us to meet him here. So, loving God, through your goodness, we have this bread and wine to offer, which has come forth from the earth and human hands have made. May we know your presence in the sharing so that we may know your touch and presence in all things. We celebrate the life that Jesus has shared among his community through the centuries and shares with us now, made one in Christ and one with each other. We offer these gifts and with them ourselves, a single living act of praise. Amen. Just to remind you, for Paul says he received from the Lord what he also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And this is the point at which we're going to pray the prayer which priests all over the world pray, and you priests are going to pray today, the prayer, "Come Holy Spirit." And it's the point at which the priest doesn't put his hands like this, particularly in the Orthodox Church. He puts his hands like that. So why don't you lift your hands and just pray that the Holy Spirit will come not only on you, but on me